The Pentagon failed an independent audit of its accounting system for the sixth consecutive year. Auditors found half of the department's claimed assets could not be accounted for. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this episode of 360 View, we're going to look at why the United States continues to write a blank check to a department which cannot account for what it has already spent. Let's get started. Required by law, the annual audit assesses the record-keeping processes for the Pentagon's weapon systems, military personnel, and property around the world. Now, approximately 1,600 auditors visited over 700 sites for the investigation. Now, the annual exercise has helped the vast bureaucracy locate and tally arms, saving money and making it easier to find and ship weapons and technology in the past, all to Afghanistan and currently to Ukraine. Now, in this latest audit, the Pentagon cannot account for nearly 63% of its nearly $4 trillion in assets. Now, the Department of Defense regularly buys equipment and parts it doesn't need because it can't keep track of the equipment and parts it already owns. But any member of Congress who voices a concern about the unaccounted for imploded budget of the Department of Defense is quickly met by a large chorus from both sides of the aisle, saying they do not support our military and want to make America less safe. Being unpatriotic and not supporting our military is almost just as damaging of a label as being a racist, a homophobic, or any other typical accusation based on hate. So let's discuss it all with our panel, Robert Petillo, political analyst, Angie Wong, co-host of The Final Countdown, and Colonel Rob Manis, host of The Rob Manis Show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Colonel
Thank
Manis, you. I want to start with you on this one because the IRS is bringing on 30,000 new employees over the next 2 years with the $80 billion it was given from Congress back in 2022. How do you feel about the U.S. government being more concerned about its citizens' financial accountability rather than its own?
It's almost beyond belief, Scotty. Thanks for having me on. You know, I dare people to question my or commitment to the armed forces of the United States of America. I spend half of my time fighting to make sure that the Defense Department is taking care of its troops, who are the ones that are going to have to go fight and die in a lot of these wars that most of us don't even support anymore. So, you know, we have to come to grips with this, because I'll take you back to early in the days after the 9/11 attack, when Secretary Donald Rumsfeld had to stand in front of the American people when the Iranians and the militias were killing our troops because we sent them overseas to Iraq and Afghanistan in unarmored Humvees. And he had to say, well, you have to go to war with the army you have. Come on. We have decades now. Decades, for decades, we have had the opportunity to repair that kind of thinking in our industrial establishment, inside the Department of Defense, in each of the armed services. And we still can't pass an audit because we can't keep track of all the arms and the weapons that we've sent overseas. We can't even keep track of our real property. We buy buildings, build buildings, buy land all the time. And I remember one of the audits where we couldn't even account for all the buildings that the United States Department of Defense had, because we needed to inventory them so we could sell them off on closed military bases. It's unbelievable. It's despicable. And what's most disgusting about it is it shows a really crass disregard for the safety of our troops, and I'm tired of it.
Well, it's interesting because, Angie, this latest military budget is 2 to 3 times what China spends on its military. Yet the Pentagon is saying if Congress does not pass, the U.S. is in danger of falling behind. So can you explain how they can come up with this reasoning and the justification?
Oh, sure. I mean, look, you know, if you can't pass your sixth audit, let's just give you more money. Let's give you $886 billion more because you couldn't count for the last $4 trillion. Well, here's the problem. I'm starting to think that maybe the Pentagon budget is a backdoor way for Joe Biden to be financing all these wars that, well, maybe Congress hasn't supported yet. And he seems to be okay giving Zelensky an extra $200 million this week for something that didn't go through Congress. And Zelensky, during his visit in Washington, D.C., begged Congress, wanted to have meetings with the House and Senate. And guess what? He left empty-handed. All he got was $200 million, which is not small, but it only buys him a couple of days in war with Russia to go home with. And now today, President Putin of Russia comes out and gloats and says, hey, we're doing great. You know, our war with Ukraine, we've got 600,000 servicemen there. We're doing just fine because Zelensky now has to think about ending the war there. There's no money coming in. There's no more blank checks. But, you know, to the point of the Pentagon budget, it seems like we're financing a lot of foreign wars that never got passed through Congress. And we have to be very mindful of that. Maybe that's where we'll find those missing $1 trillion.
Well, Angie brings up a good point, Robert, because you're looking at what's going on in Taiwan, and this latest Pentagon budget bill actually features $872.4 billion. Must pass. A part of it, though, includes a bunch of money already reserved for Taiwan to possibly going to defend Taiwan. Cybersecurity deal. It prioritizes the AUKUS arms sales. Is it smart? Are we not kind of already preparing to go for a war that hasn't even started yet?
Well, if we were using it directly for that, it would be smart. It would be exactly what we need to be doing. The problem is the trillions of dollars that just go missing that are appropriated. And for people who don't understand how significant this is, part of the issue that Russia had in the initial parts of their offensive against the Ukraine was they went to go find weapons that had already been sold off by generals to arms dealers. They went to find out that all their stockpiles had been depleted. They found tanks that didn't have engines in them because someone sold the damn engines off to people. This is what happens when we have waste, fraud, and abuse in a system. As much as we talk about it existing in the Russian military and the Chinese military, it also exists in our military. And the fact that we keep going back to the well and simply saying, well, we need to build new bombers, we need to build new fighters, we need new aircraft carriers, we need all these new things. We are preparing for a war against an adversary that does not exist. And the fact is that because the military contractors have facilities in every single congressional district, if you look at the way that major products are built, if you're building a new F-35 or if you're building a new B-21, you'll have the engines coming out of Missouri, you'll have the wings coming out of Alabama, you'll have the landing gear coming out of Texas. And because they sprinkle it around to every congressional district, no congressperson can vote against it, and it becomes a behemoth that we can't get control of, and we can't find money for schools, we can't find money for health care, we can't find money for many problems we have in America. But because of the way we do military contracting, we'll always find money for more weapons.
Which is a very scary point, because once again, and I'm going to go to you, Colonel Manis, on this one, doesn't it hurt if we already know that there's a conflict coming? Does that not also hurt diplomatically in solving it before we actually go to war? And to Robert's point about putting it around, there's a reason why Congress people can't vote against it. They can probably vote against money going into something else, but they can't vote against money going into their district because they'll be ultimately held accountable. I feel like we're on a hamster wheel when it comes to this.
Well, with a little bit of moral courage, they could vote against it for the right reasons. You know, for instance, this current bill that was just passed by the House had the extension and reauthorization of FISA 702, which is used to surveil American citizens and break our violate our Fourth Amendment rights. But to Robert's point, though, you know, it would be smart if we were spending the money for the right reasons and building up a deterrent force to deter China. That's how you keep the peace, through strength and to focus strategy and expenditures and resourcing of the right forces at the right moment in time. And that is this moment. But that's not what's happening. You know, he mentioned that, Angie mentioned another $200 billion to Ukraine. Ukraine's asking for another $61 million from Congress in a losing war effort. It's been obvious since the day it started or before that this was going to be a losing effort. And it's not helping our national security here in the United States or even NATO's credibility. It's actually harming us the longer it goes. So we've got to get back to doing things that are preparing us to fight a war, but deterring that adversary which is the Chinese Communist Party, instead of having to have the ability through weakness to take us to the brink of war and even into war, allowing the adversary to do that. That's the way you end up with peace through strength, not what our current approach is.
But Angie, that is what you used to have. Republicans are known for spending money, superfluous money, sometimes wasting it. In this case, it's the Democrats that are in charge. They're spending the money. But guess what? The Republicans aren't stopping it. So why are the Republicans, if they're so angry about it, or maybe some of them are starting to get on board and open up and realize that they've been used the past 2 years, why aren't Republicans putting the stopping the brakes on this type of spending and this type of waste?
Well, you would think after six audits that there would be some consequences, right? But here's the thing. Congress is not going to do that. They're not going to hold the Pentagon in contempt. Why? Because there's big defense money involved here, and they sprinkle money all over Congress on both sides of the aisles. No one's going to say no to money, especially if congressional members, all they care about all year round is how am I going to fundraise for my reelection? So that is the circular problem that we have here. At the moment, you know, our congressional members, they're being, I'm watching them on Twitter right now, they're being paper tigers, right? They're talking, big talk, but ultimately they're going to do nothing, and that's why we're on our sixth audit, and there's been no accountability whatsoever. The real problem of why we can't do the audit is because officials did not provide enough to the auditors to actually do anything, right? And if I didn't give my accountant all the information to do my taxes every year, guess what's going to happen to me, right? But with the Pentagon, nothing will happen because there's no accountability from Congress. So that's where we need to put the pressure.
Well, here's the thing. Just this week, General Pompeo, former Secretary of State Pompeo, joined a major defense contracting board. Surprise, surprise. Took him 3 years. Very little press given to that, but obviously he's been one of the biggest pushers of any sort of war that he could get a part of. We know that presidential candidates were sat on boards of major defense contractors. Why are we not making these politicians, even TV pundits, wear stickers like NASCAR of who actually is sponsoring them and why this is motivating their words that they're speaking?
Oh, because it's a revolving door. If you think about our current Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, was a defense contractor. But then under Trump, our Secretary of Defense, Esper, was a Boeing defense contractor. There's an inexorable tie between our government and the military and the monetary. You can go back to Eisenhower talking to the military-industrial complex. You can talk to Gil Scott-Heron when he talks about the military and the monetary to come together whenever it's necessary to turn this planet into a cemetery. We are in a country that profits off of war, the one part of the American economy that will never go into a recession is the war-based economy. And it's going to be up to the American people to stand up to this, because if the American people really understood the American military footprint around the globe. Remember during the Trump administration, those four soldiers died in Niger, and many Americans said, where's Niger at, and why do we have troops there? Mm-hmm. And then we find out we have an entire U.S. Africa command with a $100 million drone base that is being used as a force there. If you look at the proliferation of American forces at every corner of this globe, whether it's Rio Garcia and the Indian Ocean, the Straits of Malacca, this is what we do. And then tell the American people to demand differently and really stand up to the people who start calling us anti-military, anti-national defense, because we want to rein this in, is going to continue to happen, and it has continued to happen since the end of World War II.
On that note, let's take a break, because after the break, I want to continue our discussion about the failure of the Pentagon to pass an audit for 6 years in a row and ask why are and what are the repercussions of the American taxpayer continuing to fund the department without any questions. We'll be right back.
in 1918, the countries of the West won the final victory over the Ottoman Empire. The Sultan's government capitulated to the Entente and signed the humiliating armistice of Mudros. Great Britain, France, and Italy wanted not only to destroy the Ottoman Empire, but also to divide the primordially Turkish lands among themselves. In 1919, their armies began to land on Turkish territory. But the West decided to choose Greece as the main striking force, seeking to make others realize its aggressive plans. Foreign intervention provoked mass indignation among the Turkish people. The national liberation struggle was led by the experienced general Mustafa Kemal Atatürk. In order to bear down the enemy, he banked on the mobilization of the nation and the alliance with Russia, which acted as a united front with Turkish patriots. At the end of August 1922, Atatürk's army won a decisive victory over the invaders in the Battle of Dumlupinar, and within a month liberated all Asia Minor from them. The impressive success of the Turkish army forced the West to make concessions. In 1923, the Lausanne Peace Treaty was signed. Turkey, one of the first countries in Asia, managed to defeat the colonial empires and defend its independence, becoming an example for millions of the oppressed on the planet.
Welcome back. I'm Skylar Hughes, and you're watching the 360 View. I want to continue our discussion with Robert Potillo, political analyst, Angie Wong, co-host of The Final Countdown, and Colonel Rob Manis, host of The Rob Manis Show. Angie, you know, first I want to correct myself. I was wrong. It's not an American defense contractor that General Secretary of State Pompeo joined. It's actually a Ukrainian company called Vion, and it's out of Kiev. It's a part of Kyivstar, and he's an independent, non-executive director. Wow. How is that not a conflict of interest, Angie, that you have someone in the United States that obviously has a voice, still very influential in the American budget process? Now he's sitting on a board with a country that is at war with someone else. Why is nobody calling foul on this?
Well, there seems to be a lot of American politicians sitting on a lot of foreign boards lately. I hope they all have their FAR clearance. At least they have their, foreign bank accounts and whatnot. So we should all be looking into that. I'm going to make the opposite argument that a lot of our defense manufacturing actually takes place here in the U.S. and we send it overseas, right? So Pennsylvania being one of the largest manufacturing states, I think Arizona is another one. So, you know, we actually benefit from the money going into defense manufacturing, even if it's producing shells for Israel or, you know, tanks for Ukraine, we're doing the bulk of the work, which benefits Americans ultimately, which is good. But I don't know, conflict of interest doesn't seem to matter right now in all of D.C. It seems like it's like the wild, you know, D.C. Anyone could do anything because there's no accountability. And, you know, who's going to push back on them? Ultimately, people are making money in D.C. like they always have. Now they're just being very brazen about it. They're just not hiding anymore.
You are completely correct about that because you have conflict of interest, you have insider trading. It doesn't matter as long as you're a member of Congress. And that, Colonel Manis, is that why politicians are coming into Congress, maybe small amount of money in their bank account and leaving as millionaires, even billionaires to a certain extent? Because I don't think Americans understand how politicians can personally benefit from a large military budget, which is greatly accounted for. Can you shed some light on this?
Unfortunately, you know, who can shed light on why a congressperson comes in with a net worth of less than $1 million and then 12 years later has a net worth of $64 million? I can just tell you that smells to high heaven. Robert and Angie both tapped into that when they were talking about the revolving door. We need to put legislation back into place that prevents general officers and senior officers like me from going right to a defense contractor. We need to put legislation in place that prevents folks that have been corporate officers or board directors on the military industrial complex corporations from being Secretary of Defense or having any policy role in the Department of Defense. And we need to apply that same standard to other corporate efforts and other departments and agencies in the federal government, because it is a big cash cow, and the cash is going into their bank accounts. Now, Pompeo, he ought to be restricted from ever serving in the United States government again, because he's gone to work for a defense company in a country that is the most corrupt country in the world. And I'm not even being hyperbolic here. It's unbelievable. But the other thing that we need to stop doing, and more importantly, is stop this endless war policy. And Robert touched on it just a bit. And let me just go into that. We resemble a global Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire wasn't global except for in the sense of its own civilization, but we are global, and we are organized exactly the same way. We've carved up different parts of the world, like Africa Command and U.S. Central Command and European Command and Asia Pacific and Indo-Pacific combatant commands, and we have these four-star generals in charge of it, and we are leading with military force, not with deterrence operations, not with peaceful means to do that, but with active combat forces around this world, and that makes us weaker. That makes us weaker, and I know it's counterintuitive for those folks that aren't professionals in the world of combat, but when we are weak, enemies like China will take the opportunity when they get it to do things using military force, like take Taiwan back. And I'm not saying that they're going to do that tomorrow, but they certainly have an opportunity, because we have spread ourselves so thin in all of these major conflicts, even though we may not have forces actively engaged right now, our logistics, our supplies, and our command and control and intelligence are all actively engaged in at least two major war fronts right now, and we are spread very thin. That is the exact opposite of the approach that we used during the Cold War. Yeah, there were some hot wars, and we had to learn some hard lessons from the Vietnam conflict and war. But overall, we did it peace through strength to bring down the Soviet Union eventually. And that's the line of thinking and strategy that we need to get back to. And quite frankly, that would increase jobs and increase pay, as Angie brought up and Robert did too, that folks are in, you know, X county or Y county at these small companies on these defense contracts. They're making good money. They've got good jobs. Right. That's okay. But you can do more of that through peace through strength and developing strong deterrent forces instead of going into these wars and expending your weapons, your political capital, and your resources, like your men and women in the armed forces, unnecessarily, as opposed to fighting and defending your own vital national interests and being ready to do that and staying at peace.
But you know, but you're going off of kind of what Robert said on this. Robert, do you think the rest of the world right now perceives the America as weak and are taking advantage of it? And then you have an audit that comes out that we don't even know where everything's going. Do you think that also adds the factor of the instability and why some of the actions in the world are happening today?
I actually think it is the opposite.
Okay.
I think that many parts of the world have simply defaulted to the American military being their military. I think if you look at Europe, for example, over the course of the last 50 years, they've decided, well, why exactly are we going to be investing all this money into research and development and building these massive armies when America can just do it? So we'll have universal healthcare. We'll have universal education. We'll have a transit system that works for individuals. We'll have pensions. We'll be able to retire at like at 55 or 60 years old. We'll take a siesta in the middle of the day from like 11 a.m. till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because the Americans will handle the military side of this. If you look at Southeast Asia, Japan did not have a military force for about 50 years after World War II. They're just now rebuilding their military. But throughout the South Pacific, the conceptualization was, well, America will handle these issues for us. So we can build advanced microchip factories. We can build advanced AI facilities. We can educate our population, because we don't have to waste all that money on military, because America will handle that problem. So if America is going to be the country that's going to be the backstop for security for the entirety of the world, if we're going to be the hall monitor, the principal for the entire world, and we've seen, we can't even name the number of countries in our lifetime that America has gone into, whether it's Grenada or Lebanon or Syria. We are everywhere on Earth. So for those countries, why exactly would you even bother building a military that's going to cost billions of dollars? We can invest that into your own people. I think America has to pull back from that. We've basically taken over the role that the British Empire had at the beginning of the last century, being the global police force, and we're realizing the same way the British did, that this is how you bankrupt an empire, by continuing to be the military and police force for the entirety of the globe.
That's an interesting path of the fact that, you know, bankrupting a key dominant leader. And Angie, I'm going to give you the last word on this, because after six audits and everything we know that has not been produced from it, you would think that they would make it mandatory before they gave them another penny. But politicians in Congress are not doing that. In fact, they're going on and spending it before it is even approved. Do you think it is on purpose now at this stage that those in Congress, that they don't even want to know what's going on? It's like, I didn't know, so therefore I'm not held accountable for where all of these goods and where all the dollars are going?
If it's not intentional, then the only other answer is stupidity. I think this is all intentional. There's certainly, look, it's a lot cleaner to request a check from the Pentagon going to Ukraine or to the Gaza Strip than it is to get all the votes in Congress right now, especially since, you know, the House is so divided with such a razor-thin majority on the Republican side. Nothing's going to get passed. Even the Democrats, Hakeem Jeffries came out with a sign that says the do-nothing Congress yesterday. And that might be what's going to happen in 2024, that Speaker Mike Johnson might be deadlocked on every single item that gets on the House floor because of the majority and everyone's just voting down party lines. So, you know, in order to get anything done, you might have to take some shortcuts, including just padding the Pentagon budget and, you know, taking out whatever you need whenever you need it. The message is there, though. I mean, I think Americans do not have an appetite for a lot of the foreign wars that we're fighting right now. We're always happy to support and we're always happy to be there. But the days of the blank check, I think that's, you know, coming to a close, especially in the case of Ukraine.
Well, I want to thank my esteemed panel, political analyst Rob Petillo, Angie Wong, who is co-host of The Final Countdown, and Colonel Rob Manis, the host of The Rob Manis Show, for this very good conversation that hopefully will continue. If your business or even your household was run with 63% of its funds unaccounted for, would you continue to not only give but raise the amount? This is exactly what the American taxpayer is doing. Sadly, this isn't just about a spending spree at the local mall or eating out too much. The lack of attention Americans are paying to is what is being approved is virtually giving permission to create and continue havoc and war in other parts of the world. I have no doubt most Americans would not only stop what they were doing, but try to intervene if someone was going to hurt a child right in front of them. They definitely would not provide the gun or the bullet used by the assailant. Americans should have the same conviction to do everything possible to prevent harm and pain to those around the globe. They should not want to be the financer of such evil, and yet examples continue to be given where American equipment and supplies are being used to terrorize someone, even if it's not being held by an American soldier at that exact moment. How much blood are Americans willing to have on their hands, all because they didn't take time to hold those in power accountable? Because when it comes to the Department of Defense, every penny spent could be the difference between life and death. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 View. Thanks for watching.